You may be seated.
The second scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 26. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear would, And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Deb. Once again, I find this to be a humbling experience, to be standing here in this pulpit and the pastor sitting here with me. That's a joy. Thank you. And praise God for you and your healing. I know God has more in store for you than what you realize. When I read the bulletin and read the scriptures chosen, and then the title, there were no extra parts when God put us together. And so we heard from the psalmist and we heard from Paul this morning. And we're going to focus a little bit upon that. But when I was manager director of the Judson Collins Methodist Camp down in the Irish Hills of Michigan, I had a tremendous responsibility there for the size of the camp and everything that went on there. And from time to time, I would have opportunity to go into Clinton, Michigan, about 7 miles to the east of the camp, to buy something for the camp. And invariably, when I got ready to leave the hardware store, there was a gentleman there by the name of Mr. Young, who was actually the proprietor. And he would call after me as I was taking my purchase and beginning to leave the store. He would call after me and said, remember, Pastor, a message or a sermon hatched on Saturday night won't fly very far on Sunday morning. So that was the case yesterday, hatching this message. Hopefully it's going to fly today, okay? Oh, boy. But then I started thinking about that title, and was conjuring up in my mind what Dave was probably thinking about as well. Every one of us have had an opportunity to assemble something, to put it together. whether it be a Christmas toy or a new piece of furniture or trying to figure out some fang-dangled thing that goes someplace. And you always come to that point, oh, I can do this without the instructions. And so you take on the project and you get it all together, or you think anyway. And then the, how come I have all these parts left over? What do I do with these? Oh, I know. They were intended just in case something broke or something got lost. That's why they put the extra parts in. So I'll just go ahead with the project. Well, it might be an action toy. Might be a train going around a Christmas tree. Or it might be a tinker toy. Or it might be an erector set or something like that. And you go to make it work, and it doesn't work. And so you thought, well, where are the instructions? Buried someplace in the paper or in the box. And you finally realize that you had to follow the instructions. And that's about where we are with God. The instructions are right here. And how many times do we start out a day or a week or any time in particular without reading the instructions? We need the instructions. Let me pause here for a minute. Father God, we simply ask the anointing of your Spirit, not only upon the messenger, but upon the hearer as well. May we be blessed with your presence and the power of your Spirit, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Okay, we've assembled here for a very specific purpose. We're all here because we didn't stay home. We decided we wanted to worship this morning. And so we assembled in this place. And so we are the body at this moment in time assembled. We're many people. We're many people from many places. We have many talents to offer. If we were to sit down, maybe pass the paper around on a clipboard and say, what's your talent? We will find unbelievable talents that are unrevealed in any other way but you writing them down. It's like, you know, putting the candle under the bushel instead of leaving it out on the lampstand where it can light the room. We bury our talents sometimes. We put them in our personal body, and that's where they stay. Earlier, we had the opportunity to sing the song, Breathe. When we got up this morning, did we say, do you have breath for us this morning, God? No, it was there. It's always there. This is a horrible thing to say, but we are but one breath away from meeting our Maker, which would be a rejoicing experience, but that's a fact. One breath away from meeting our Heavenly Father. So we literally say, breathe on me, O God. Breathe on us, O God. You see, we are the witness to the mighty power of God. We sang about it this morning in the opening song. He's the author of all creation. And when we look around us and we see the changes that are coming in this particular neck of the woods, we're beginning to see beautiful color. And that's all at the hands of our Creator. And we just sang, I surrender all, and I mentioned to you how important that is and how serious we need to take that thought that we do surrender all. That's indicating an intention for you and I that we will surrender to Him. in Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12, reminds us that God speaks with power. God speaks with power and steadfast love, and he repays according to our works. Now, we know what that's about. We know that works and faith go hand together, hand in hand. Without faith, your works are useless. Without works, your faith doesn't count for anything. So it must be together. And what it says here, that he repays according to our works, and in this case, our faith. But we don't do the works, hopefully, with the thought in mind of what's the reward. That's up to God. We cannot prescribe what reward we're looking for. He will give us the reward that feels appropriate for us. So I want to focus on the main text, which of course is 1 Corinthians 12 through 26, but in particular, I'm focusing on the latter part of verse 24 and 25 and 26. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the inferior. I want to stop there for a minute because he's composed the body, and we know what that looks like, because if we ever go to a doctor's office or a clinic or anything like that, we'll find someplace in that facility a picture of the body with all the muscle and sinew and bone and all of the nerve endings. Everything is there. And you look at that and you say, wow. But that's exactly who we are. We're the wow of the body that God has created in us. And when he talks about giving honor to the inferior, that's so that there be no discord in the body. Now, what's the discord in this body? The discord in the body that Dave has is an infection in his spine. The discord that each of us experience one way or another is maybe a headache or a tummy ache, or we just are tired out. There are all sorts of discords in our body that slow us down and cause us to wonder what's going on. But it's the same thing in this body. Discord in this body would mean that we're not getting along. Or, we don't like that person sitting on the other side. That's why I sit over here. I want to let that person go out first. I don't want to go out when they're going out. But that's the discord that God was talking about. There is a discord that occurs not only in the physical body, but in a body of people such as this. You see, we are called as members of the body to care for each other. That's our task. When one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoices. Now, use your own body as that. Using that principle, if any part of your body is suffering, it detours the action of the whole body. If anything in the body of the church is in discord, it's suffering, the whole body suffers. Do we suffer enough to realize that God suffered greatly with his son hanging on a cross, the flesh and blood of a body nailed to a cross? The bottom line is this. Paul said this to show us the importance of a relationship. God is with us 24/7. He never leaves us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you in every situation of your life, be it good or bad. And so he's with us 24/7. And it's a relationship that we cherish. And he, in turn, cherishes his relationship with you. You see, Jesus related to everyone. Do you read anywhere in the scripture where he shunned anybody? No. He was always ready in whatever situation it was to manage that particular incident. Look what he did with the woman at the well. Look what he did when Lazarus died. Always doing the right thing. And why did he do that? It's because his answer was always, it is the Father in me what I am doing. So the Father in us is Christ's intervention for us with the power of the Spirit motivating us to be the person that he calls us to be. So Jesus related to everyone. This was the fulfilling of the will and purpose of his heavenly Father. A relationship sometimes fails. Why? Because it has a sense of inferiority. We sometimes look wrongly at a situation. We look wrongly at an individual. We think that they are below us. And that's a critical error that we make, and that's the inferiority that is in the body. I once saw a bulletin on a church bulletin board outside. It said, don't look down on anyone except to help them up. And that's our task. That is our task. And sometimes we get a guilty feeling about that, but we ought not to have. Instead of having the guilty feeling, go to God and ask for the forgiveness that you need in any one particular situation. So you see, our relationship with others is, when somebody hurts us, there's discord among the body, whether it be your physical body or whether it be within the group. So today, we have gathered as one body to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. And in the process of doing that, Jesus intended and intends to make us one holy body. Make you holy. Make me holy. Make us a holy body. And so that's our task. Use every part that he has created in us. Not just eye, ear, mouth, nose, whatever. The whole body. We will surrender to him and have him use it for his purposes. And in the end, he'll bless us in our own individual purposes. And so we can put an amen to that. As we prepare for our communion, you have in your bulletin this sheet that I will be reading to you in a moment. But before I do that, I want to share something out of 1 Corinthians. It's the 11th chapter. You've heard it before, but what I like about this is it says in verse 23 of chapter 11, verse Corinthians, for I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you. What I like about that is that's Paul speaking in first person, but when I read it to you, it is I speaking in first person. And so I have been gifted the privilege of bringing this communion to you as Paul brought it to the Corinthian church. Hear the rest of this passage. For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."